My job is to somehow make them curious enough or persuade them by hook or crook to get more aware of themselves and where they came from and what they are into and what is already there, and just to bring it out. This is what compels me to compel them, and I will do it by whatever means necessary.
Welcome to the Black Girls Heal podcast, where we talk about healing our intimacy disorders, unresolved trauma, and building a healthy relationship with first ourselves and then others. Every episode, we will talk about advice you can apply today to break unhealthy patterns and grow in your self-worth. I'm Sheena Lachey, love addiction coach and trauma specialist. Let's begin. Hello, hello, and welcome to the latest episode of Black Girls Heal. I'm so happy to be with you today. Today, we are talking about wonderful, fabulous you. We're talking about how to help you feel deserving because you already are deserving. We're helping you catch up with the fact that you deserve to be attended to, loved, adored, cherished, protected, and to help you feel worthy of that. Some of us feel worthy of it, but it's just that there's a disconnect between what we get in the world and what is materializing and what we hope to be true. Some of us have this clear vision of what we want, but then when someone tells us to visualize it or to take it in, or we get people or relationships that give it to us, we shrink back, we get scared, we anticipate loss, we may sabotage it, right? And so when you can't win for losing, we got to look at the common denominator, which is us and our mindsets and how we feel about ourselves. And so we need to look at, where does this come from and what can we do to start to change this cycle? Before we jump into that episode, I'm going to plug a different resource. I know throughout the series, I've been really talking about the BGH Members Club, which is where I have a worksheet for every single one of these episodes, notes about the episodes, journaling and healing prompts, a challenge for you to do to take what you're learning here on this podcast episode deeper, and also community so you can connect with other people, connect with me, talk about what is coming up for you, ask questions, all that stuff, right? All that is within the BGH Members Club. But for this one, I would love, love, love for you to consider the Heal the Ache course, which is one of my mini programs, MINI, is a 4-week course to help you heal from the symptoms of childhood emotional neglect. I will put the link to that in the show notes, but you can also go to blackgirlsheal.org/trauma to be able to check that program out. And it is a deep dive into getting connected to your body, to clearing out where that ache of feeling not enough lands for you, both in your mind and your spirit and your psyche, and helping you to build a deeper connection with yourself. So that is the next step I want to suggest there. And if you're already in the Members Club, you can check the most recent post that talks about a discount to join that program. And if you don't see it, let us know. We'll go ahead and make sure that you are connected with that. And same thing for recovery school students as well. So that is it, y'all. You are all so beautiful. And I can't wait for us to talk about the treasure that is you right after the jump.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. Before we get started, let's take a small break to say thank you to this week's sponsors.
Let's go ahead and jump on in. Hello, hello, and welcome to the latest episode of Black Girls Heal. I hope that this finds you well and thriving wherever you are, and that you are taking amazing care of yourself. So for today's episode, we are going to be talking about how to feel deserving when it comes to the ability to receive the love that you want and that you deserve. You also have to feel that you're deserving. A lot of us will say to other people that we know that we're deserving. We will declare it. We will write it in our affirmations. When we are venting about how we had to cut ties with someone that wasn't treating us in the right way, we will declare with great emphasis and great energy and emotion how we know that we are a queen or a bad bitch or amazing or whatever it is that fits how you see and how you feel about yourself. However, if there's a part of you that on the inside, when these things happen, what comes up for you is, of course, this is what happens to me. This is what always happens to me. This just might be how things are. If there's a part of you that when you start to try to imagine what it is that you want and what is it that you need, that has a twinge of, or maybe not a twinge, maybe a giant, very intense emotional reaction that you might even be able to feel in your gut. But if you have any kind of reaction that's like, I don't think that type of person or type of relationship that I want would happen exactly for me. And so this is how we get into relationships. We get into connections where we start compromising before we even meet them, because the dream that we have feels too big for us. It feels like it's too mighty. It feels too impossible. And the only reason that all those things would feel that big or that impossible is if you feel like you're not deserving of it. If you feel as if what you're asking for is too much for someone like you. Especially if it's something that you see other people have, and that might even be the inspiration for what you want. Why is it that you may feel that they get to have it and that you don't? So today I want you to know that you are deserving, that you are worth it. And if you struggle with feelings of lack of feeling deserving, with AKA not feeling enough, we're going to talk about some ways for you to clear it out. This is the first step, the uproot stage. For those of you who have worked with me before, or if you're familiar with my framework, this is one of the first things that I teach every single one of y'all to do, which looks at, it doesn't matter how much you're trying to plant positive thoughts about yourself, affirmations, change the ways you relate to other people, change the ways that you date, change the ways that you talk to your partner, change the ways you operate in your friendships. If you still have deeply rooted weeds, I call them all the emotional traumas, the negative limiting belief, the core wounds that we have, if we have not touched the weeds in our life, then they're going to continue to choke out growth. And so this episode is inspired by and focused on that first step so that you can also start the process of digging out the weeds that I talk about in my recovery school program. We're going to bring it here on the podcast for today. So if that sounds good for you, let's go ahead and jump on in. Okay, so like I said, we are talking about how to feel deserving and how do we start the process of that by way of clearing out the roots and the weeds, clearing out the trauma and the things that get in the way that will choke out all the growth. This is the types of things that we will might even put in really great skills or really great advice. We'll have a great session with our therapist, or we'll feel really inspired by a sermon, or we'll get this clarity after doing a self-love detox for a while and shutting off relationships and connection, and we'll feel so inspired and happy and healthy and whole. And then we will return back to relationships, either a new relationship or the same relationship, and the same types of things will happen. That is because we have not cleared out the weeds. We need to uproot all the things that are clogging us up. And so this is the first step of my four-step process, my four-step bloom method to help your relationships flourish. You get it? Haha. Bloom, flourish, fruits, weeds. You like that? I like that too. Let's go ahead and talk about working these things out. You're taking notes, my loves. Here are the things that we are going to work on to make sure that we feel that we are deserving. First, we have to identify. And let's look at the things that we need to identify that may be clogging us up and causing a lot of blockages. The first thing that I need you to identify that may be a weed in your process are the energy drains. So the energy drains are not necessarily the to-do list and the things that you have as part of your responsibilities and things that are keeping you from rest. More so in this aspect, I want you to focus on the people and the relationships that are energy drains. The ones where you're doing maybe a lot of emotional labor, but very much so the ones that treat you in a way that you are undeserving. So are these people who may say things to you directly or indirectly? People who are nice, nasty towards you? People who are there sometimes, but then also may flake out? Those who will make promises to you, paint the world to you, then when it comes time to deliver, that they will fall through? Is it the people that you end up having to take care of more than they take care of you, whether or not it's physically, financially, emotionally, spiritually, or sexually? They always promise that they got you next time. They may be really great with words and really great with knowing exactly what to say to you to make you feel appeased and make you feel as if you can trust that next time is going to be better. I talked in a recent episode about being in the negative in relationships. So a lot of times these are relationships that we start off in the negative 20s, and then they'll give us a negative 10 effort that's still BS, is still less than what we deserve. but we will take it, and we will take it as improvement, not understanding that we started out this relationship with someone who is already giving us less than what someone of our stature, of our nature, of our love, and of our capability deserve to have in the first place. These people may be directly emotionally abusive and neglectful, or indirectly. I talk about often on this podcast, especially over the last year and some change, that some of us will have relationships where the red flags come to us and they are big and they are glaring and they are overt, and other people can see it. And maybe even we can see it sometimes when we look back in hindsight, and we can spot anger issues, and we can spot infidelity issues, and we can spot whatever else. And some of us have our red flags that come to us, and instead of them walking like the Incredible Hulk towards us, they are slithering on the ground. They are more subdued. And so we will pick it up and put it in our lap and say, oh, look at this one. This is really nice. I really like the color of this little red flag. Oh, it's so soft and sweet and cuddly. Not knowing that this thing is going to drain us from the inside, that it's going to be a parasite. Why do I have people in relationships that are energy drains under the things we need to identify in relation to figuring out or helping us feel more deserving? It's because these types of relationships, when we are in relationships with these types of folks, they are treating us in a way that is dishonoring of our value. It's dishonoring of our worth. So the more that we stay around these relationships, it reinforces this belief, either consciously or subconsciously, that this is what we deserve. It stays our normal. It makes it very hard for us to want to break out, to feel as if we are deserving to break out, to feel as if we are good enough to break out, because there may be loyalty attached to these types of relationships, to being in this type of status, to not leaving people behind, to not making people think that we think that we're better than them, to making sure that everybody is okay before we can actually move forward, to feel like we cannot move on until we get them to understand and validate why we need to move on. So we keep having fights with them about how I don't deserve this and I need more. And the way you're talking to me is mean, and the way you're talking to me is rude. And do you not understand how you're the one who's the source of all the problems that we're having in this relationship? And so you'll spend time in the gutter fighting with these folks to try to get them to see reason when they have no plans to see reason. Meanwhile, your sense of self-worth is continually being destroyed, because that is not only ego destroying to you, but it's also value destroying to you, because you deserve to be relationships that are easier. Okay. So you have to identify the relationships that are draining your energy, the ones that are not available to you, the ones that are breadcrumbing you. The next thing that you need to identify are, what are your expectations that you may be holding for yourself, and the standards that you may be holding for yourself that may be a little bit too much. So this is where perfectionism can come in. This is where those of us who grew up where we had to earn love by being good enough, smart enough, nice enough, pretty enough, talented enough, funny enough, giving enough, quiet enough, subdued enough. Any of us who had to act or pretend or mask in a certain way to be worthy of love, this is where our perfectionism can come into place. It can also be where many of us may have shunned people who wanted you to act and pretend in a certain way to become more independent. And so that is where you learned how to overcompensate and overfunction. And I hate to say that, because that's a very extreme word for what has worked for many of us. Many of us have become super successful and have gotten so many things that are part of our dreams from learning how to become self-reliant and learning how to become independent in that way, and kind of shedding other people's need for approvals in some ways and really going out on our own. And so I say overcompensating, overfunctioning, to not diminish the fact that this self-reliance and this self-responsibility are amazing skills, but more when you're doing it in excess, to where it's now to where you can't turn it off. Now to where it is that you're no longer consciously choosing, okay, in this moment, I'm going to make sure that I'm self-accountable and I'm moving forward, but it's your only mode. You do not know how to let go. You do not know how to be still. You do not know how to let folks in. And so the reason why this is connected to ways that you may feel undeserving is because if you have learned that you have to continue to go, perform, output, do in order for you to feel safe, whenever you fall below what you feel like this expectation or standard that you have for yourself is, then automatically, by nature, by definition, you are not deserving. You have not met the mark. You have not met the outputs. You are less than your standards. And so you end up being in this continual cycle of never being enough. Because even when you hit your metrics, even when you hit your markers and your goals, there's always another 5 or 6 goals waiting for you. On the other side of it, you have not learned how to build in celebrating yourself because you have learned how to function by staying on the go and staying hypervigilant about what the next thing is. Also, just by nature, to be human is to be imperfect. And as a recovering perfectionist, every time I say that, it makes me, I do a little tick. I tick on the other side of this microphone and you can't see it, but you know, the tick is not as big as it used to be years ago when I first started teaching about this. So that's progress. That's something that I can, you know, report back with glee and with joy and with gratitude. But there's still that part of me that's like, well, maybe one day, you know, I've been teaching this stuff long enough. I've been doing this work long enough. Maybe one day I'm going to ascend and become this, you know, perfect person that has no more insecurities or doubts or does never make mistakes or anything like that. And girl, I wish. Fortunately, that is not the case. And so what I'm going to talk about at the end is going to help with that. But in the meantime, if you have these impossible standards for yourself to be this impossible person and human, and you hear things like that as a challenge to watch me end up being the one who figures it all out, you're going to continue to be in a place where you never allow yourself to rest. The goal of life, and there's different philosophies, but the goal in life is not the one who gets the most coins, it's the one who has the most peace, in my opinion. Because we see people who are the millionaires and the billionaires of the world and who are not in peace. They are not joyful. You will hear them, the ones who are vulnerable, have interviews, and they will all tell you. They will tell you how they had to find, once they had accumulated all the gold on the top of the mountain, that they had to find something else because it was never enough. And so the gag is, even though for those of us who may, the money thing is really important for you, the financial security, stability, that might be one of the ways that you are really, really trying to work and find your own inner security, is two things can be true at the same time. It can be very true that money can and does help solve problems and help you feel safe and give you more access to resources and things like that. That is absolutely true. Anyone who says differently is gaslighting you and needs to touch grass. But also, it will not fulfill you. There is not enough money that's going to be able to buy and heal any internal wound of lack and scarcity and abandonment and grief that you're hoping to fulfill. And so that's your own internal work. The third thing that you need to identify when it comes to maybe feeling not as deserving is how you talk to yourself. So this could be in moments where you don't feel deserving because maybe you've made a mistake. This could be just how you generally see yourself. I know that especially at the very beginning of when I first started working on my love addiction years ago and working through my recovery process, one of my first aha moments is I realized that I was actively using the people that I was with to tell me and share with me and give me things that I did not feel to be true about myself or feel like I had access to. I had a very big issue with my appearance, how I felt about myself physically, whether or not I felt I was beautiful, whether or not I felt like I was deserving, whether or not I felt like I was attractive or valuable by the way that I looked. And to the point that it was hard for me to look in the mirror. I remember my college boyfriend, there was a time that we were hanging out in the dorm room and I guess he noticed that I would never look in the mirror. And he like lifted my chin one day. It's like, Sheena, look at yourself in the mirror. You're beautiful. And I had no access to receive that and believe that. I'm giving you this example because there are so many of us that unprovoked, we are saying and thinking things about ourselves and completely tearing ourselves down. And especially if you struggle with love addiction, there's so many reasons why someone will be overattached to someone who is a potential trauma bond or someone who's unavailable to them. But if that person is giving you access to something that you don't feel deserving of, or giving you proximity to something that you don't feel deserving of, that's another reason why it feels even harder to let them go. Because what if I let them go and then, you know, using the example I had before, no one else thinks that I'm attractive. No one else thinks I'm worthy. No one else thinks that I'm fun. No one else thinks that I am a good partner. No one else thinks that I am good enough to spend time with. Whatever it is that your thing is, no one else won't use my previous baggage against me. So if you're your biggest critic, if you're the one who is kind of stewing in this and waiting for a moment or a time or a person or relationship to save you from yourself, that's going to make you very susceptible to taking a whole lot of crap from people who are narcissistically inclined or people who are really just toxic and opportunist, because they are going to prey on a low sense of self-worth and that incessant need to be filled. And they're going to give you what you need, and then they're going to rip it away and then blame you for needing it and then hold it hostage for you to stay on, to stay for more and more supply. If you've ever listened to an episode of Black Girls Heal and thought, that was powerful, but now what? BGH Members Club is for you. Inside, you'll get ad-free bonus episodes and an archive library of all of our current episodes without ads as well, in-depth worksheets for every topic we cover, and special drop-in lessons to help you actually apply what you're learning. This is your space to reflect, grow, and make real changes in your healing journey. Join today at blackgirlsheal.org/members and take the next step towards becoming your healthiest version of you.
Looking to buy your dream home or rent that perfect apartment? With the Redfin app, you'll know the moment your next place hits the market. Set up your gotta-have-it wish list, and Redfin will send you real-time notifications for properties that match. And when you're ready to see it in person, scheduling a tour is just a tap away. Thinking about selling? Redfin can do that too. In fact, Redfin agents close twice as many deals as other agents, so they know how to get the best price for your home. And with a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin charges half of what others often charge. So you could save big, like really big. Last year, Redfin saved home sellers $118 million. So whether you're buying, renting, or selling, Redfin's ready to help you win. Download the Redfin app and start searching today.
And then the last thing for you to identify if you struggle with feeling undeserving is the contradictory info related to maybe the self-talk that you have or the things that you feel that you are undeserving about. So not just looking at all the problems, right? Let's look at the people who have told you that you're deserving. Let's look at the people who have told you that you are valuable, that you are worthy in the area or in areas that you feel undeserving in, because we all have it. So even using that example I just gave from me back when I was in school, and that young man told me, you're beautiful, and I didn't believe it. So me not believing it doesn't make it not true, but it was information that I have a whole bevy of information that I can choose to pay attention to. I can pay attention to some random things that people said to me. I can pay attention to stories that I've made up in my head. I can pay attention to the comparisons that I've made up in my head. Or I can pay attention to some really positive things that people have said to me as well. And I think most of us, when we are very focused on or we just feel this deep sense of feeling undeserving, we will choose to go towards all the negative information and we won't even pay attention to the positive, or it'll go in one ear and out the other. If we're going to go by external factors, we got to go by all of them, right? We got to weigh like a scientist all the information. So some folks, we got mama, daddy, bullies when we were growing up, exes, whoever, random person in the street, random person now in the age of social media. For those of us who put our lives online and expose yourself to other people, the comments in the comment section or DMs or things that you're getting, if that has affected you, we have all those information. Now let's look at the information of people who love us and care for us. And what do they say? Right. And where do I want to decide to put my focus and my energy? So these are some things for us to identify. This list is not exhausted. There's a bigger, longer list. We can look at the traumas that we've had. We can look at the messages that our parents have shared with us as well. I talk about this more in the recovery school, but this list of four things already, if you have been taking notes and you're getting out a journal, that's going to keep you busy for a minute, writing all this stuff out, writing out your thoughts and your feelings about it. That is a really amazing and in-depth start for you to look at and to get out with your head and onto paper. Where is this coming from? And looking at, is something about when you see something in black and white, instead of it just running around in your head, you're able to externalize it even more. When it's in your head, it feels like it's a part of you. It feels like it's in your skin. It feels like it's a part of your truth. It's like running through your blood. It's running through your veins. It's pumping through your heart. Like, it feels like it's so impossible for you to pull it off. I'm like getting the image of, what's his name? Slimy, Slimer from Ghostbusters, you know, I'm like trying to pull this green thing off of you, right? But when you write this stuff down, it was something that you can now touch and place and remove from you and look at it and examine it like a scientist. And so I talk about this even more and break this down even more in the Love Addiction Recovery School for my students, and really try to hold your hand through it, through our lessons, just because I've just learned from experience as not only a therapist, but also a woman who's gone through this process and as a coach, that this is the stuff that will come back around. Even very recently, I've had a student who has gone through the program and she's worked on so many things, and she's in this place where she's now applying all these things that she's learning. And so these triggers are things that you are going to have to come up. And so she was recently out and around family, and there are some untouched triggers that she hadn't worked through before that came up and made her start to doubt her own sense of self-worth, whether or not she was deserving of love was possible for her, if this is how it was always going to be. So we had to come back to this to clear this stuff out, to uproot it, because she gets to have her own story. Her story does not have to be what other people have chosen to have. Some people choose to live in their trauma and live in their misery. It's comfortable to them. It's comfortable for them to stay in their addiction. It's comfortable for them to stay in their learned helplessness. It's comfortable for them to stay in that storyline. It's what they saw before. It's what is familiar to them. It's where they actually feel empowered. Because it's something that's familiar to them, they actually know what to do, what to say, how to fight, how to navigate it. And so for you, you get to decide, is this the story that I want? Is this something that I want to pick up for myself? Is this what I feel like I'm deserving of? You get to rewrite your story. What I'm talking about right here, all this stuff is stuff that you're going to have to continue to clear out if or when it comes up. But it's really important to have a good foundation so that you know that it's possible. Because I think especially for those of us, a lot of women who I've worked with in the past have been in therapy for years, been in therapy for a long time. And so what can happen is you can sometimes start to wonder, is this stuff even making a real dent? Because I've been working on this and working on this and working on this, and these patterns still keep happening. It all comes down to making sure that you have the right tools that you're using to clear this stuff out. And so let's talk about what those tools are. So the tools that I'm going to give you, I'm just going to give you three of them off the top for you to focus on to clear out these things that make you feel undeserving. The three things you need to work on are your self-love, your self-compassion, and clearing out the things in your body that keep you stuck in these places. Okay, your self-love, your self-compassion, and clearing out the things that keep you stuck in these places. So your self-love, obviously, how you see yourself, how you talk about yourself, how you feel about yourself. You have a whole long list of all the things that you feel like are undeserving about you. What are the things that you want to think and feel about yourself? What are the things that you want to, when either other people say it about you or when you say it about yourself, that rings true and that you know that you know that you know that you know in your heart that this is who you are, that this is your identity, that this is your truth? What would feel big and enriching and powerful to you? What would truly resonate? And what, even if it doesn't resonate right now, what would you want that to be? Self-compassion is huge. Self-compassion is your ability to practice self-forgiveness and self-grace and self-acceptance of where you are in the moment, and also knowing that you are good enough. So self-compassion is so centered on your self-talk and how you coach yourself, how you nurture yourself, how you coddle yourself. I really, really encourage my coaching students to bring these things to our group calls that we have during their cohorts so that we can practice self-compassion, because self-compassion is one of those things that you think you know what it is logically, and you might even be able to tell it to other people. But when it comes to actually practicing it, you will freeze. You might be the best person ever at giving your friends and loved ones great nurturing and self-compassionate words. But when it comes to talking to you in your own mess and in your own stuff, you no longer can find the words, literally. Like, you sometimes you just feel like you can't even talk. And that is more about your disconnection to your inner child and the ways that we may have learned to self-reject and abandon ourselves. If we feel like we're performing or acting in a way that is unsafe or undeserving, again, the childhood trauma. And sometimes you might be able to eke out a word or two, but it doesn't feel real. It feels like you're just throwing spaghetti against the wall and it's just sliding down, like nothing sticks. And so learning how to talk to yourself with kindness and get at the root of it, and also learning how to receive it, is for sure something that is best practiced in community in connection with support. That is why, if you're not new to this podcast, I say over and over and over again, the way that you're going to work through your own intimacy disorders or difficulty finding intimacy with yourself is not to continue to spend time only with yourself, but to be in community, because it's about connection. It's about learning what you don't know. It's about allowing other people to see you and to support you and to see you in your most vulnerable state and to say, hey, not only do I see you and I understand you, I get you, I'm holding you, I still think you're amazing. I don't have to think less of you because this is a place of growth for you. And not only that, I'm going to help you. I'm going to do it joyfully. And you get to learn how to receive that help and love. And that, talking about the title of this podcast, is absolutely how you learn how to feel deserving, to learn how to start to receive from other people and to see when people give to you that they don't feel that you're a burden, that they don't feel like you're too much, that they don't feel like you're dumb or you're weak or you're in the way or a mistake or whatever story has been told to you or that you internalized by way of the abuse and trauma and neglect that you've had in your past, either by childhood trauma or by way of romantic relationships, friendship relationships that ended up being big betrayals or anything in between. The self-compassion is absolutely such an important skill because you need to learn how to talk to yourself with self-kindness and validate yourself. And again, for it to feel real, because we all know how to do affirmations. You can go online and print a million affirmations. You can go on Pinterest, and some of us may have a Pinterest board filled with giant affirmations. I know for sure I have my own manifestation and healing journals that are filled with affirmations that I will say to myself during different points in time. But I absolutely have to clear out the weeds before I get there. Otherwise, I'm just talking to myself and it just feels robotic. It feels disconnected and it feels as if I'm wasting time. And then when I don't feel better about it, then I'm like, see, this is why this stuff doesn't work. And so there's definitely a hybrid approach. So that's the second thing for you to do. The third thing, like I said, is to clear out the places in your body that this stuff is stored. So our trauma gets stored in our body. If you are a binger of this podcast and you have gone kind of back and forth between our episodes from the beginning of time until now, you will probably realize that about halfway through these episodes, through our archive, is when I started to talk a little bit more about body work. And this is when I started to have my own experiences with body work, get trained in somatic experiencing, which is talking about like polyvagal theory and all these other models that basically, just the layman's term is that our body remembers. Our body remembers every single trigger, every single trauma, every single moment of fear, anxiety, of pleasure, of pain, of joy, and it stores it in our body. And until we're actually able to release it and to let it go. So if you had a childhood where you were not allowed to use your voice, where you may have felt stifled and over-controlled, where you may have been afraid to move, to escape, to create boundaries, your body remembers that. And so all of these ways that you may feel undeserving, even if you logically and in your mind may understand things, your body may be the things that are stopping you for asking for what you want. Your body may be the ones that are making you leave a party when you really want to go and make friends and make connection, but your body is terrified and you get panic attack, or your stomach really starts to hurt, or you all of a sudden just have to take a nap right before it's time to go to the party and you end up missing it. Your body will find a way to try to protect you. And if you have a disconnection from your brain and your body, you're not going to realize what's happening. And many of us, to learn how to survive in this world, we've had to, whether or not it's going into go mode. Some of us who are very high functioning and have found a way to be very independent, and the way that that manifests is by working all the time and staying busy all the time, you may resonate with not really knowing when to eat and when to sleep and knowing when to rest and putting it off to the last minute. Unless things are on your to-do list, you may deprioritize self-care activities unless it's something that has a double benefit. You know, so I'll do a yoga class, but it's because I could do a yoga class with a girlfriend. And so I'm getting a social time at the same time as my yoga class. It's not just for me. or I'll do Pilates, but it's because summer's here and I'm trying to keep my body right and tight. But it's not just because you want to elongate yourself and get connected to your body. Meditation and everything else just feels like it might be a waste of time because it's hard for you to be present in your body and in silence. These feelings of feeling undeserving come, and they come in our moments of silence. They come whenever we're having a big breakup or a heartbreak. Part of the grief and pain that we feel, the withdrawal that we feel, especially if this relationship was giving us access to ways that we felt undeserving, then that becomes exposed. Now that is in full display, and it is physically painful. It's not just emotionally painful, it's physically painful. If you are in recovery from love addiction and love avoidance, you have definitely felt how sometimes your breakups, you've either felt or you've seen that your breakups affect you maybe 10 times harder than your girlfriends do or than your girlfriend's breakups have. And it can feel really embarrassing, especially if they're wondering, girl, you got to pick yourself up. You got to get this together. This is limerence. Like, this is just move on. Not understanding that this isn't just about this person, that this is about your abandonment traumas and your rejection traumas being completely unearthed. And now you're having to work through that. And so when you're able to get connected to your body and learn how to soothe places in your body that are now feeling so raw and so tender, and all you're just needing is some relief, like that's all you're needing. Learning how to give that to yourself is key, is paramount. I would really encourage you to look into resources for that as well, around body work, around healing, around connecting to that. Of course, those are things that are also in the Recovery School program as well. If any or all these things are things that you would like to work on, always remember that the Love Addiction Recovery School is a great first step. I've made it for every single thing that I talk about here on this podcast for us to be able to work through these things together through our cohort time for you to get relief. So you can learn more about that by going to therecoveryschool.com. I actually, over this past week, put some more information on the overview page that talks more about the program, what it entails, the structure of it, and all the questions that people typically ask about it. So if those are things that you are interested in, you can go and check that out to learn more about the program and see if it might be a great fit for you. So that is it for now. This episode, still longer than 35 minutes, closer to 40 minutes, but it's still about 10 minutes shorter than it usually is. But you got a lot of homework, y'all. I got a lot of next steps for you to take in. I hope that you found it helpful. I hope that it has illuminated some places that may have gotten in the way of you feeling deserving. And I'll say one more thing. These are things that is going to take practice to work through. I am the person that I was talking about before who has the high perfectionism. I am all about you tell me what to do, then I'll do it. And so one of the things that I have to continue to come back to, which is very frustrating, is that even when you're doing the right things, that the growth is sometimes steady. Sometimes it's immediate. Sometimes it's, oh, great. I see the impact of what I'm doing almost instantaneously. Almost instantaneously, my life is changing. My relationships are changing. I can sleep better. I feel relief in my body. That absolutely happens. And sometimes with some of these things, it's about building a habit and building a habit over time. And so the growth is gradual. Even when we kind of think of the concept of snowballing, we think of like a tiny speck of snow or a ball of snow that we start off that like is really little. But then as we roll the ball and it grows, and the way that I'm conceptualizing that snowball effect, the snowball gets exponentially bigger over time. However, the way that healing works sometimes work is it's not a snowball where you start off with the ball that's like 2 inches one day in diameter, and then it's like 20 feet in diameter a few steps down the road. Sometimes healing is like a stair step. It's one step after another. So you're going up. You're going up. You're making progress, but it's one step after the other. And so for something like this about feeling deserving, especially depending on how deeply rooted it is, I want you to know that as long as you continue to work on this and as long as you keep chipping away at it, and as long as you just stay consistent, and consistency does not mean perfection. It doesn't mean that every day you're saying affirmations. It doesn't say every day you're doing journaling work. It doesn't mean that you're feeling amazing every day. You never have moments of self-doubt and despair. What it means is when it gets hard, you continue to go. You allow yourself to grieve. You allow yourself to feel the pain. You allow yourself to be in the moment, but you continue to know that you are worth it. And one day you're going to know that you are worth it. You know, one day the feelings are going to match the thoughts 100%. They're going to be a total eclipse of the heart. It's going to fully come together. And so I just want to give you encouragement to keep going, hon. I know that this heart is hard. I know that you're tired. I know that you're ready just to be done. And I know that sometimes the burden feels very weary. But along the way in this journey, this is why, you know, the fourth thing that I listed on here, I could have, on this list of things to identify, I could have listed just all the negative things. But this contradictory info, aka the blessings of your life, it is so important for you to be able to look around with gratitude and see the people who love you, see the growth you have made, see the access and resources and jobs or money or moments of laughter or whatever it may be, the queue of TV shows that are your favorite that you get to watch later, or TBR list, your to-be-read list, or the hobbies that you may have, or just the fact that you love the outdoors and the outdoors are still free. You get to find joy and to experience joy as you do this journey. And so allow yourself those moments because you're deserving of it. You're deserving of the ease and grace and flow that you truly want and desire. And I just want you to receive that. Okay. So that is it for today's episode. I'm sending you all so much love. For those of you who have been wanting to work with me, I look forward to seeing you in our next cohort in the Recovery School. Should you find it to be the right fit, I think you will. You can learn more by going to therecoveryschool.com. And I can't wait to get to know your stories. But in the meantime, as always, please, please, please take care of yourselves. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Black Girls Heal. If this episode helped you in any way, please be sure to subscribe, leave a 5-star review, and share it with someone you love. And if you're ready to go deeper and turn what you're learning about here into real life change, join us inside the BGH Members Club. You'll get ad-free bonus episodes, powerful worksheets about every topic we discuss here, and exclusive lessons to help you apply the healing tools we talk about. You can join today at blackgirlsheal.org/members. And as always, take care of yourselves, and we'll see you next week.